Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. I could hear you guys sing that song every week. I tell you, I love that. So good. I remember when my dad was dying this year, I kept sending that song to my mom over and over and over again. Still got a reason to praise. Darkest valley, longest night, always something to praise the Lord for. Amen. If you're a guest, we want to welcome you to River City. If you have a moment, you don't mind, you could reach in the seat back pocket in front of you and a connection card and let us know that you were here. We'd love to connect with you and know how we could minister to you, pray for you. Anything you want to share with us, feel comfortable doing that, drop it in the give box in the back and we'll be sure to reach out to you soon. While you're turning to Matthew 4, I also want to say next week we do really great things kicking off. At River City, there's Mom Co., and that's for our young ladies and mothers. And then also something brand new at our church, we're kicking off 610 Men, which is a really exciting ministry. We're kicking that off at the same time as Mom Co. next week. Bring your own meat cookout. Somebody say amen. Listen, I don't care if anybody else is here. I'm going to be here at the grill with my meat. And so we're excited about that. If you got questions about that, put it on a connection card, turn it in, let us know. Some of you are already in that group that I've formed. If you're not in the group, just put 610 Men on a connection card. I'll get you in the group. And we're excited about what God's doing through our ladies and our men starting this fall. And there's some really, really exciting things that are going on that I'm not even really ready to share yet, but there's some great and exciting and dynamic opportunities, but those are next week in the afternoon on Sunday, and be sure to check that out if you will. All right, I'm going to read one verse this morning, and it's Matthew chapter 4. We're in a series called Reboot, and it's really just three messages. Last Sunday on personal prayer, this Sunday on reading your Bible, and the next Sunday on the importance of church. Now listen, it didn't get any simpler than that. You want to reboot, you want to refocus. You want to get back in the fall the way you need to get back in the fall? Okay, I'll help you. Read your Bible, pray, go to church. Man, wow. It's almost just about that simple. Read your Bible, pray, of course the right way, find yourself in God's house. That's what you need to be doing. So today, I want to preach to you on the importance of the Word of God. The importance of the Word of God. Notice this verse here, Matthew 4. This is in the temptation of Jesus. This is the first of three temptations of Jesus by the devil after Jesus has fasted and prayed for 40 days, according to verse 2. And the Bible says in the middle of his hunger, verse 3, that the tempter, the devil, comes and says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Now look at verse 4. But he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. I want to label the message this morning, Living by the Book. Living by the Book. Shall we pray? Lord, bless the message. As I prayed in the morning men's prayer meeting, Lord, there's no illustration or emphasis that I can put across that will make the difference this morning. Only your Spirit taking your word in your house to your people can make the difference. But we pray that you will, based upon what you've already said in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, the Center of Bible Engagement compiled an extensive findings to a research project, and they labeled it Understanding the Bible Engagement Challenge. Scientific evidence for the power of four. In this study, 40,000 people between ages 8 and 80 were surveyed and studied to determine the effect of Scripture on their lives. As they compiled the results, they were stunned to find the difference between somebody who read or was exposed to the Bible three times a week and somebody who read or was exposed to the Bible four times a week. These people, they had read or heard the Bible only three times, showed very little, virtually no effect on their personal lives. But the minute a person had Bible intake four times a week, church, personal Bible study, the steady impact was staggering. Here's what they found. Loneliness dropped 30%. Anger dropped 32%. Bitterness dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 60%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 70%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sharing your faith jumped 200%. Discipling others jumped 230%. There is no doubt about it. The Bible changes people's lives. And the Bible itself gives witness to that reality. For instance, Romans chapter 10 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The law of the Lord is converting the soul. Did you know that the Bible is the only reliable source of salvation? And a person hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, it can completely show them Jesus Christ and their need for the gospel. The Bible says in Psalm 19, 8 through 11, that the Bible also brings our transformation. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The law of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Did you know the Bible says that the scripture brings spiritual power? It says that when a man hides the word in his heart, he can overcome evil. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. The Bible says that scripture brings guidance because they become our counselors. Psalm 119 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, the word of God is the means of your spiritual growth because as newborn babies, we crave its milk, and from its milk, we grow. The Bible says that scripture brings freedom, John 8, 32, because when you know the truth, it is the truth that will set you free. Scripture brings sanctification because John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Then the Bible says this in Psalm 1 verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And that man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose roots will run deep, whose fruits will not fade away. Friend, I'm telling you, I could spend the next hour just going verse after verse after verse to tell you that God will richly bless your lives if you live it in the book, and that God can change and shape your life if you live in the book. And here's the good news. If you want the Bible in your life, you can have the Bible in your life. The Bible is more accessible today than it has ever been in the history of the world. 88% of Americans own a Bible. More than this, it is estimated that the average family in America has an average of 4.7 Bibles in their house. Did you know now that the Bible is electronic? We literally have lost all excuses. The Bible app put out by Life.Church is now approaching 1 billion downloads across the world. Nearly 1 out of 8 people around the world have downloaded the app to their life. Here's the bottom line. As we have unfettered access in our modern age for the Bible, it seems as though our appetite for the Bible has greatly diminished. And while 88% of people have a Bible in their home, only 48% of Americans say they virtually engage the Bible none throughout the course of a week. Another 9%, that brings it up to 57%, only read the Bible sporadically. That means that 6 out of 10 people sitting in this room right now have had little or no exposure to the Bible between Sundays. Folks, I got to tell you right now,
If you're looking for an answer for your life, if you are looking for an answer for your depression, if you are looking for an answer for your anxiety, if you are looking for an answer for your financial trouble, if you are looking for an answer with the problems in your marriage and raising your kid, I want to tell you today, look no further than the Word of God. But can I tell you this? We are suffering today from a famine of Scripture. Not its availability, but in our access of Scripture. Let me say this to you this morning. People who do not read their Bibles are no better off than people who do not have a Bible. One man said it like this. He said, Christians used to be people of one book. They memorized it, meditated on it, talked about it, taught it to others. We don't do that anymore. And in a very real sense, we are starving ourselves to death. Donald Whitney, no spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's word. Nothing can substitute for it. There is simply no healthy Christian life apart from a steady diet of the word of God. However, many of us will sit here and yawn with our familiarity and nod in agreement with what I just said, and yet we'll spend virtually no time in God's word at all. This morning, I want you to listen to these words from Jesus again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Think about that just for a minute. The analogy that Jesus is using is simple. That the food we eat that provides physical nourishment and health to our bodies is analogous to the word of God. In the same way that you cannot be healthy without nutrition and you cannot survive without water and food, the Bible tells us here that spiritually speaking, no one can thrive or survive without the word of God. You see, in the same way that man lives by bread, man must live by the word of God. And then I want you to see this very interesting phrase here. It says, man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That tells me that God wants us to at least have gone across every word of the Bible. And I got to tell you, I've met a whole lot of people that are trying to stake their lives on Christianity, stake their lives on the faith, and yet they have never had their eyes even cross every word of the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read all of the Bible? Have you ever opened it up, had a plan, gone through a series, and worked yourself through the Bible? He says, man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then finally, what it tells us about the Bible is this. The Bible did proceed from the mouth of God. Folks, here's what you need to know about the Bible. The Bible is not just a book, it is the book. The Bible is not the thoughts of man, it is the word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God, the Christian, could be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that God showed up to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration and made himself manifest to Peter, James, and John. But in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verses 18 and 19, Peter says this, I saw Jesus with my own eyes. I stood on the mountain and saw him transfigured before me. But I got news for you guys. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Are you hearing me today? The gospel John, the writer in 1 John chapter 1 said this, we saw Jesus, we heard Jesus, we handled Jesus, we tasted of Jesus. He said this, but the fellowship that we had with Jesus is the same fellowship that you can have with Jesus today. It's right here in the Word of God. Now, friend, if this is what the Word of God is, and this is our lifeline, spiritually speaking, then we must know how to interface with the Word of God. So today, very simply, I'm going to give you three practical applications from what I just said about your spiritual intake. Now, before I even get into this, I'm going to be giving you some very practical things. I want you to know that if you have the Church Center app at 12:30 today while you're eating lunch, you're going to get a notification. And I have shared with you probably 10 to 15 priceless resources In a document that you can click and download and purchase, and this of different Bible study helps and Bible studies themselves and study Bibles and other things. And if you want to take the next step in your spiritual journey, if you want to grow in your faith this year, I would advise you to listen to those podcasts, read those books, get yourself a good Bible, get yourself a Bible reading plan, get in the Word of God, okay? Get in the Word of God. Now, how do you do that? Number one. This is going to be so simple. Some of you are going to think, why did I even come to church today? But here you go. One, hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What is our first responsibility as a Christian? It is this. Listen to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. The Bible is plain. Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. When you receive the Word, listen, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it really is, the Word of God. So yes, there is a spiritual discipline that I am encouraging you with this morning, and that is that you should be regularly hearing the Word of God. And there are many ways that you can do that in your life, not the least of which you are practicing right here and right now today. You have come to the house of God. You have come not to a circus. This church is never going to be a circus. This church is never going to be a place of entertainment. This church is very simple. We sing for about 15 minutes, we pray for about 5 minutes, and then we preach for about 45 minutes. You say, how in the world can you have a church that only preaches the Bible? Folks, listen, if I have to have a church that needs to do more than preach the Bible, then trust me, I'm going to go sell used cars for the rest of my life. Because if I don't believe that the Word of God is sufficient and that what you need to hear more than anything this week is you need to hear a pastor that stands up, that believes that the Bible is the Word of God and believes it is the answer for your life and stands up week after week believing that it is authoritative, it is powerful, it is life-changing. It's the only thing that I can give you that will help you tonight. I'm not going to put on a show. We're not going to bring a drama team up here. We're not going to sing for an hour and preach for 5 minutes, friend. This church will center on the Word of God. You say, what am I supposed to do? That's very simple. Show up to church regularly. Come expectantly. Get a notebook out. Get the Bible and a journal on your phone, whatever it might be, and snuggle up under the Word of God every week and listen to the Bible being taught and preached so that you can hear the Word of God. Number two, I would tell you, dive into a connection group where you can explore and discuss the Bible in a more in-depth way. Get into a small group where you can study and connect with others and listen to the Bible and interact with the Bible. How about this? Number three, feed on sermons, Bible study podcasts, audio Bible recordings, and more. The Bible's and its teaching is so accessible. Can I share with you something that might transform your life? Turn off your favorite radio station when you are commuting and turn on the Word of God. And God help us all. Turn off talk radio. You want to get depressed? Feed yourself on Fox News 24/7 and learn about Iran and what's going on over there and learn about, oh, Russia's gone nuts and everything's going crazy and the stock market's down. I don't know what to do with my life. Or you could turn that all down and turn Jesus up in your life for a few minutes and just say, you know what? I don't need to hear that. I'm not going to feast on that. Are y'all listening to me today? I'm talking about, I don't want to fill my heart and my mind with scare tactics and fill my mind with doomsday messages. I need to hear from God more than I need to hear from Sean Hannity. So turn it down and turn the Word of God up. You need the Word of God more than this 45 minutes that I'm going to share with you this day at church. I think of the greatest preacher, I believe, that ever preached in America was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham is credited to have preached to millions of people. In fact, at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, which is fascinating. If you ever get a chance to go there, I would highly recommend going there. There's a picture. My favorite picture in the Billy Graham Library is of him preaching in Seoul, Korea. It's an outdoor meeting. He's on scaffolding. And they estimated at that one service in Seoul, Korea, there were a million people. A million people listening to this man preach. And I've met people nearly everywhere I go that were affected in some way, still being affected to this day through the preaching and the teaching ministry of Billy Graham, who went to heaven a few years back. Do you know Billy Graham was 16 years old in North Carolina? He was invited to a revival meeting, multiple day revival meeting. At that revival meeting, there was a evangelist, a Jewish evangelist named Mordecai Ham, that was preaching the word of God. Billy Graham several nights in a row came. One of those nights, it finally hit and stuck. That night, Billy Graham came to the altar, met with a counselor, accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and the rest of his life was, as it were, history. His life was changed in one night when he opened up his heart to Jesus and the word of God was preached. I am telling you, there is more power in a 30-minute sermon to change your life and rearrange things that are going on in your world. Folks, listen, I believe with all my heart that somebody can come in here and listen to the Bible being taught and the powerful word of God by the Spirit of God into the heart of man can completely change that person's life. If you want to be changed, listen to the word of God. Number two, read the word of God. Read the word of God. Let me ask you a question. If I offered you $1 million to read the Bible every day for the next 365 days, how many of you say, I'm in right there? Absolutely. Get your hands up. What are y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? If I offered you $1 million, there's not a person, I don't care. You can be, oh, I don't need $1 million. I always read the Bible. Listen, if I offered you right now, of course I can't, but if I could, if I offered you $1 million right now, every one of you, there is not a person in this room that would not read the Bible. In fact, if I even said something crazy like this, you have to read the Bible for 4 hours every day, or let's say 50 chapters of the Bible every day for 365 days, and you will get $1 million. There's not one person in this room that wouldn't start waking. Why? Because you know the rest of my future would be set if I just stop and pause and read the Bible 4 or 5. Look, how many of y'all know you'd be pushing some other things aside? You'd probably turn Facebook off. You'd probably quit scrolling Instagram. You'd probably quit wasting 2 hours on TikTok every day, and you'd probably tune all that out and tune in to what God says. Why? Because, man, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. Can I tell you? I got a better deal than that. You can meet with God every day. And Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than even my necessary food. How do you read the Bible? Let me get real practical with you. How do you read the Bible? Let me give you about 5 things here, okay? Number one, you got to find time. I don't mean you don't have time. I know you've got time. If you wonder if you got time, do this little thing after church that will probably make you feel really bad about your life. Open up your iPhone and swipe left a couple times, and you're going to see that little phone usage pie chart or graph chart or whatever it is. And you're going to see on there that you're averaging over the course of any given day 7.5 to 9.5 hours on your phone. And then you get down in the details and you're really going to not like what you see. Because some of us will say, well, I need it for work. And I do too. I kind of pastor from my phone. I get it. I understand. A lot of texting, a lot of email, a lot of stuff. But you know what else you're going to find in there? You're going to find in there a lot of things that quite honestly mean absolutely zero in light of eternity. Somebody help me up here. You know what I'm talking about. Look, let's not try to be acting like there's not people in this room that have 2-3+ hours on social media every single day of your life. YouTube. I just can't stop, man. You just take one, you just can't stop. I mean, it's like drugs. It is like drugs. And you're hooked. Well, can I encourage you to unhook from that poison that has literally got you gripped and hook in to Jesus? Somebody said if you read the Bible straight, they've actually done this with audio recording of the Bible. Audio recording of the Bible can be listened to in 71 hours. Did you know that? An audio recording of the Bible can be listened to in 71 hours. If you break that up into 365 days. That means 12 minutes a day. Get that. If you listened to or read the Bible for 12 minutes a day, you would read the entire Bible in a year. And there are people here that have never read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Can I challenge you today to just start tomorrow? I mean, just get on the YouVersion app and pick a Through the Bible plan. Here's the cool thing. You can literally click on it and hit the play button, and it will actually read it to you. You can listen to the Bible while you cook. You can listen to the Bible while you commute. You can listen to the Bible as you wake up and you're standing at your sink getting ready for the day. You can listen to your Bible while you take your 15-minute walk in the morning. You can read the Bible out back with a cup of coffee in your favorite chair. You can read the Bible early. You can read the Bible before you go tonight. Folks, I think this church can find 12 minutes to read the Bible a day. Find a time. But also find a time that works for you. Now listen, you're looking at me and Angie are about as different as night and day in every possible way. And here's the thing about me. I wake up super early every day without an alarm clock. I am like, let's go, it's on. I mean, I'm like waiting for the sun to come up. Come on, man, let's go. It's a new day. I've made a pattern years ago, being bed by the, if any of you have ever seen me or been around me past 10 o'clock at night ever, things start getting wobbly. Okay, very quick. You're like, man, what's he been? Never mind. So I 10 o'clock, it gets off. I can't do it. 5 o'clock in the morning with that alarm. Every day of my life, I'm up. First thing I do every day of my life, get up, get some coffee, go to my back porch, read the Bible every day of my life. Now, Angie, on the other hand, now listen, she's not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If she could help it, she wouldn't be getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's not anything to do with one's more active and one's not. It just has to do with the way God made us, the way God wired us. She functions better after being up for a long time. She functions even better into the day and into the evening. When I'm about to crash out, she can get winding up. But here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter. Here's what you should do. You should give the best of you and the best of your day for the best time to spend with God. It might be in the morning. But here's the bottom line. For some of us, it might just be we just need to carve out a discipline. It might just be that, yeah, I don't really have a good time because I'm always this and I'm always that. Well, there are some patterns that can be established. You can wake up 12 minutes earlier than you do to read the Word of God. You can decide, I'm not going to take a full lunch hour break. I'm going to take a 45-minute break, and I'm going to spend 15 minutes in the Word of God. I'm not going to watch news every night, at least before I read the Word of God. And there's so many tools out there that can help you, that can nudge you, that can walk you through this. It's just inexcusable. Find the time. Number two, find the plan. I highly recommend the YouVersion app. It's so simple. Any of us can help you download it. I'm sure most of you have it. Follow your own Bible reading system. I know with 610 Men, I've uploaded a Bible reading plan, the John MacArthur Bible reading plan. It takes you through the whole Bible in 7 years. And it's a really unique plan. It's a unique plan that focuses a deep dive on chapters and so on and so forth. I think it's a great way to read. Some of you will get lost reading Leviticus every day for 25 days. You don't have to do that necessarily. There is a way to work through the Bible, and there's so many people out there that have put a plan together. You're not alone. You don't have to figure out a way. There's way too much that's been published. How do you read the Bible? Find a time, find a plan. Number three, find the truth. Find the truth. What does that mean? When you read the Bible, don't just read it to get through it. Don't just read it to check it off a list. Read it to meet God. The Bible says, with my whole heart, I have sought thee. When you are reading the Bible, you're supposed to be looking for God. You're supposed to be meeting with God. You're supposed to be talking to God and interacting with God. So what do? You find a word, a phrase, a verse to meditate on or to memorize every time you read. And folks, sometimes I don't even get through a chapter when I'm reading the Bible. Sometimes a verse will jump out at me and I'll grab a hold of it, put it in my journal, start thinking about it, start praying over it. Why? I'm there to meet with God, not to accomplish some task like going to Walmart. John Piper said this, I've never met a mature, faithful, strong, spiritually discerning Christian who is not full of Scripture, devoted to the regular meditation on Scripture and given to storing in the heart through Bible memorization. And that is no coincidence. It's kind of like tea, folks. If you're in the habit of drinking tea, I love herbal tea. We love loose leaf herbal tea in our home. It's great. And we have these steepers. And you boil the water to the right temperature, and then you put the tea in that steeper, and every tea comes with it a suggested time to steep. And most of them are between 5 and 7 minutes. Now, folks, you take that loose leaf tea and whatever thing you're brewing it in, and you stick it in there, and 30 seconds later you're bringing it out because you're too impatient, and you're not going to get good tea, right? But you let the tea sit in there for 5 to 7 minutes, and what happens? The tea stains the water. The water is no longer water, it's tea. the minerals and the benefits of that tea seep into the water. And all of a sudden now you are intaking something that can greatly benefit you. And there is no benefit in hurrying and rushing through the Bible just to say that you got it done. There is benefit in letting the Bible steep in you. Meditation on scripture is letting the Bible brew in your brain. And when the Bible brews in your brain, it is going to change you. It is going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. So not only do we need to find a time, find the plan, find the truth. Number four, study the Word of God. The Word of God is meant to be more than tasted. It is meant to be chewed on, digested, in order that it might nourish us. Folks, I tell you, some of you, it's about time we go deeper into the Word of God. There are people here, as Hebrews says, that I would offer you meat, but I can't. You're still on milk because you haven't taken what I've given you and fleshed it out into your life. It's time for us to ourselves get into the Word of God. Ezra said in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, Ezra set his heart to learn the Word of God and to live it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than others. Why? Because when they heard the Word of God, they took it and they verified it. They looked it up. They studied it. Somebody told me one time, the first time they visited the church, the reason that they stayed in the church is they saw multiple people carrying a Bible into church. And they figured if people need their Bibles in church or they will be lost, this is a good church. Study the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a quick overview very quickly on how to do that. There's two things you need to do to study the Word of God. Number one, you need to understand there are gaps to bridge. Gaps to bridge. There are things in the Bible that you need to understand. You need to understand. Let me give four of them for you. Language, culture, geography, and history. Now, I'm not going to go into a deep dive. I don't have time to do that today. But when you come to the Word of God, you need to understand the language is different. It was written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. And some of us have translations that were translated hundreds of years ago, sometimes dozens of years ago, scores of years ago. And language changes. Sometimes words are used that we don't understand. We need to look them up. Certainly geography. There are things in the Bible, places in the Bible that we don't know. What is that? What does that mean? Where is that? There are names in the Bible. There's cultural things in the Bible. There's a gap that you need to understand in order to fully understand the Bible. How about this? Number two, there are principles to understand. I know I'm talking like 180 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 220. I get it, okay? You can listen to the message this week and put it on like half speed and catch up and download the notes or whatever the case might be. But principles to understand are this. The Bible is to be interpreted literally. The Bible is to be interpreted contextually. The Bible is to be interpreted grammatically. And as I look at the Bible like that, I have to study the Bible and understand that these things are true. Otherwise, you're going to have a very surface reading of the Bible. And then I would say this finally, as you're reading the Bible, journal the Bible. Write it out. Write out the verses that you're listening to, reading. Put them down. Write out some thoughts about it. Put it on a 3x5 card. Stick it in your mirror. Stick it in your car dashboard and listen to it. Think about it. Mull over it over and over and over again. Study the Bible. Do not be content to live on the surface of the Word of God. I want to tell you this. When I got saved back in 1997, May 25th, 1997, I got saved. My pastor led me to Christ. I got baptized the next Sunday, first Sunday of June, I believe it was, of 1997. And I remember my pastor, after he baptized me, I remember asking him this question, Pastor, what am I supposed to do next? That's a great question to ask if you're a new Christian. What should I do next? And this is all he said. I'll never forget it. Read the Bible. I said, okay, where should I start? He said, just start in Matthew, New Testament. Just go to Matthew. So the first things I ever read in the Bible after I got saved was this. This book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Pharaoh and his brother. And I was like lost for like 16 verses until this is the record of Jesus Christ. And God came to the Virgin Mary and said, you're going to have a son. And calls me Babel. I started getting fired up, read through the whole book of Matthew. Came back the next Sunday, read through the book of Matthew. Sunday morning, got to church. Said, Pastor, I read the book of Matthew. What should I do? He said, go ahead and read the book of Mark. I said, great. Started reading the book of Mark. It's a lot shorter. I got through Mark by Wednesday. We had Wednesday night church. Believe it or not, I was there Wednesday night for church also. And I got there. I said, Pastor, I finished Mark. He said, just go on to Luke. And then he stopped me and said, Brian, listen, you don't have to ask. At the end of each book, you don't have to ask me what to do. Just flip the page and go to the next one. So I did. That's how elementary I was. I was so new to Christianity, I thought Job was Job. I thought Habakkuk was a Hebrew cuss word. I had no idea what in the world was going on. I mean, they said, turn in your Bible to the book of Zechariah, and it would take me about 45 minutes to find it until I figured out the table of contents and finally figured it out. I am telling you, God's word started getting in my heart. And I can testify to this, between May of 1997 and August of 1997, I was able to read through the entire Bible twice, New Testament three times, and I want to stand here today and give you a word from God. It changed my life. It transformed everything about me. It cleaned my mind. It fixed my habits. It set my direction. I just want to say to you this morning, I love the Word of God. And so should you. You read the Word of God. You hear the Word of God. And listen to this, finally. You live the Word of God. You live the Word of God. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 28 says it like this, or excuse me, Luke 11, 28, sorry. Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. James 1, 22 famously says this, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. He says in this verse, man shall live by every word. Not man shall know every word. Not man shall memorize every word. Not man shall analyze every word. Not man shall be familiar with every word. Man shall live by the word of God. When you go to a doctor and receive a prescription, what do you do with it? You read the label. Oh, that's nice. That's the active ingredient in that. I could not believe such a thing. How do you pronounce the active ingredient in this medication that I'm taking? That is so cool. Wonder what the history is behind this medication. My goodness, they generated that in a lab 50 years ago, and that's so neat. That's amazing. And it's 98.2% that, but look at that. They snuck in 1.8% of that. I wonder why they did that. That's amazing. I mean, it's 98. Did you get that? Honey, come here. I want you to see this. This is it's benzoid metaclasmic thitate. 98.2 of that's amazing stuff. And then look here, honey, this is great. There's 1.8 of this. And I don't even know how to pronounce that. Didn't know how to pronounce the first one. Certainly didn't know how to pronounce that either. What do you do for, no, you don't do that. Who cares? What do? You open up the bottle. You put the pill in your hand. You swig it around with water and you swallow it. You don't fool around reading labels and digesting labels and trying to analyze labels. You take the medicine. We don't just analyze the Bible and try to become scholars of the Bible. We are not trying to master the Bible. We're trying to let the Bible master us. Read, hear, live. Let me ask you this. If your growth as a Christian were measured only by the quality of your Bible intake right now, what would be the result? What one thing can you do today to improve your intake of God's word? Do you crave the Bible? David said, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you feel that today? Remember with the road to Emmaus disciples, remember that? They don't even know who Jesus is. They're walking with him. They're discouraged. Jesus has been crucified. He's been in the grave. They have no idea Jesus is right there. Jesus shows himself, makes himself manifest. He leaves, and they look at each other and go, listen to this. Did not our heart burn with us as he walked with us by the way, and he opened unto us the word of God? I told Angie one time, it's the weirdest thing ever. I was standing in the Princeton Cemetery. Well, I know it's crazy. I was in the Princeton Cemetery walking around looking at all these old preachers' gravestones. I was like, this is so amazing. And I ran across one, some Alexander. Everybody was named Alexander back then in Massachusetts. And Alexander this, and it said this. It's all it said on his gravestone. I loved it. It said, he opened unto us the word of God. I picked up my phone right away, called Angie right there, standing right there in front of the grave. I said, Angie, this is what I want on my tombstone. I haven't changed my mind. This is what I want. I want it to be said of me. I want it etched down in marble. He opened to us the word of God. And I got a question for you. When I open up this book, when I preach this sermon, when I'm talking about the Word of God, is there something burning inside of you right now that says, I want more of Jesus. I want more of the Word of God. I want to listen to Him. I want to know what He says. I want to know that book better than any book. I want to know that book better than any television show. I want to know that book better than my textbooks at college this fall. I want to know Jesus. I want to be close to Jesus. I'm asking you a question this morning. Is your heart burning right now for God? Charles Spurgeon came from a long line of Puritan preachers. I recommend any biography written about Charles Spurgeon. One in particular, The Shadow of the Broad Brim, talks about the influence of his family, his parents, grandparents, all preachers. One Sunday, Spurgeon's grandmother remarked to her pastor husband, I don't feel real well today. I want you to go on to church and preach the gospel. And I'm going to sit here in my chair, and I'm going to read the gospel, and I'm going to pray for you while you preach. Her husband took off to church, preached his heart out, visited with the people, came home that afternoon, walked into the living room, there in the armchair. His sweet wife was slumped over, her chin at her breasts, asleep in Jesus, gone to heaven. In her lap was her Bible. Eyeglasses crossed over, setting on the pages her finger on a verse from Job 19:21. The hand of God hath touched me. Friend, I can't think of a better way to go. Talking to God, feasting on His Word. You know what else it speaks to me about? From start to finish, you never stop reading the Word of God. Let's pray together.